Thursday, the 1st of December, is World AIDS Day. And to tell us more about this, I welcome in the studio this morning from Travel Matters, Jo Josh. Good morning.
And good morning to you, Tess.
We're not talking about travel this morning.
No, we're not. No, we're talking about, because an awful lot of people know very little about it and have a fair amount of bad negative thoughts about it, HIV. And people who have it.
Indeed we are. So it's World AIDS Day. You corrected me on that one. World AIDS Day on Thursday. But first off, there's something that I sometimes get a bit confused with. What is the difference between HIV and AIDS?
Well, HIV stands for Human Immunodeficiency Virus. It's the virus that attacks your immune system. Now, eventually, that virus will damage your immune system so much that it can't fight off other illnesses. It can't fight off other things that come along. Mm-hmm. And when it's completely collapsed, that's when we're talking about AIDS. That's autoimmune deficiency. In other words, an immune system that doesn't work. So you hear of people dying of AIDS, that's because what they're really dying of is a lack of any defense for their body from their immune system. Mm-hmm. Frequently, it can be something like cancer, or it can be a type of pneumonia, that sort of thing.
Yes, it's still an illness, isn't it? But people just, they hear the word and they're like, no, not talking about that one. But if someone is HIV positive, will they actually contract full-blown AIDS?
Nowadays, that's incredibly unlikely.
Right.
Because there are some very good medications available, which mean that somebody with HIV will live an ordinary, normal life. Well, ordinary, no, because they're very aware of that they've got that problem. But with medication, they will live the same length of life, healthily, as anybody else would.
Yeah.
So in that sense, it's a manageable condition. When Freddie Mercury, who you mentioned in a chat to me earlier, died, there really wasn't any treatment available. And then people didn't want to get tested. They think he got tested very late and he'd actually been living with it for a long time. Because, in a way, why should he get tested? All it was going to do was confirm his worst fears. It wasn't going to give him the option of having a treatment which could prolong his life. In the original treatments that were available had some very serious side effects as well. So when they came in, which was the 90s, welcome because it meant you weren't going to die, but worrying because it could damage kidneys, liver, your cardiovascular system. So there were very black humour jokes at the time about, well, you know, if the HIV doesn't get you, the drugs will, which was the truth. But now the medication does not have such dramatic side effects. It's better to be on the medication from the moment you know you've got HIV, because it will stop there being any further damage to your immune system.
Yes, I mean, it must, I just cannot, it's like, well, it is like a cancer. It just eats away at you. I just cannot.
Well, it's funny you should say that. There are actually quite a lot of similarities between cancer and HIV. And in fact, one of the breakthroughs in scientific research with both cancer and HIV is to use a type of drug which can make the latent HIV or cancer show itself. It can make it visible,
right,
which allows the antibodies that we have to attack and destroy it.
Right.
And that's one of the tracks that's being followed in terms of looking for a cure at the moment.
Now, of course, as we mentioned, Freddie Mercury, and that was the first that I'd heard of it. And also, we talked about the storyline years ago in EastEnders with Mark Fowler and his girlfriend Jill. I think I don't remember much about it now, but I think they portrayed that quite well, and probably a good time with it being in the press quite a lot at the time to cover that storyline. But it must have been quite emotional and quite difficult for the actors who were playing those characters as well.
Well, I think it still is, unfortunately, because there is still a preconception that it is, quote, the gay plague.
Mm.
Whereas, in fact, 50% of the new diagnoses that happen in the UK in 2015, it was something just over 6,000, and 50% of those were heterosexual. And basically 95% of HIV cases are through sex. They're sexually transmitted. And that, plus the fact that it is associated with gay guys, and there is still, whether we like it or not, an awful lot of homophobia about. It's thought to be something bad, something negative, something awful, and that really does affect people when they're diagnosed. It's shocking. It puts you into a sort of shock which takes a while to actually come to terms with and to get over. Some people actually don't, because it's not something you can go around, say to your friends, oh, I've just had a shock, I've heard I've got HIV. You're not going to do that. It'll be a while, maybe, before you'll even tell anyone that you're close to. I was talking to a guy recently who said it was well over 2 years before he told his family, and he found it very emotional to tell his mother and father, because he expected them to judge him.
Yes.
You
yes.
know? That's and right. I know a woman who does a lot for HIV. I mean, you know, she's on various committees and does various things. She has grown-up children, and they don't know. She doesn't know how to tell them.
Wow. I mean, it's good you've got someone to fight the corner there, but it is still very much a taboo subject, isn't it?
Ever so much a taboo subject. Funnily enough, yesterday I was talking to somebody about World AIDS Day, as I do.
Yep.
And this person, who is a nice man, an elderly man, said to me, well, you know, the ones I feel sorry for are the guiltless ones. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, the people who got it through blood transfusions. I mean, they're guiltless, aren't they? And I said, well, what are you saying about everybody else? And he said, well, you know, it's the gays and all of that, isn't it? The sex. And the same person, I'm sure, it would not make such a comment at all about any other condition, because he just sees this as, oh, it's sexually transmitted. It must be some sort of judgment. And that really is why people, I guess, can't talk about it, which is a shame, because it means that people with HIV are too scared to say that they're HIV positive.
There is still that stigma, even in today, there is still that stigma attached to it. But I guess some people might like to know, just exactly how do you contract HIV?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, because it certainly doesn't come from kissing, from toilet seats, from touching, all of which some people seem to think. You can only become infected if it gets into your bloodstream.
Yes.
So that means that it has to go in, if you're thinking something sexually transmitted, through a broken blood vessel. And that is why, basically, as it could be contracted through semen, it could be contracted through vaginal fluids, that a condom will give protection, because it will stop it from getting into a broken blood vessel. And that once could be that one time that means that somebody will actually become infected with HIV. Although, having said that, the risk, according to a doctor who was talking about it recently, last week in fact, is probably about 1 in 1,000 in any ordinary, you know, sort of straightforward form of sexual intercourse.
Yes. Well, you just never know, do you?
Well, no, you don't. And that's the thing. And that's why there is a lot of emphasis on encouraging people to get tested, because you can get tested anywhere now. You can get tested in your GPs. In some areas where there is a lot of HIV around, so as to speak, urban areas, then you could get tested even in a sauna. You could get tested in a community center. There are machines, rather like, you know, the condom machines, that will give you a testing kit. You can get a home testing kit so that you can test at home. Although, I would say to anybody listening, if you're thinking of doing that, do make sure you've got a very good friend with you at the time, or someone you're close to with you at the time, because it will be a bit of a shock if you find you're positive. The testing kits give you, signpost you to what to do afterwards, where to go to get checked, to make sure that, you know, this it really is 100% accurate, and most importantly, to see what stage you're at, because worryingly, Public Health England estimates that about, well, last year, people who were diagnosed at late stage of infection. In other words, that means when the viral load, the amount of virus in the body, was very high and the immune system was already damaged and very weak. It more than half the number of heterosexual men, and half, virtually exactly 49% of women who were diagnosed were diagnosed late, slightly lower in men who have sex with men, 30%. But if you're diagnosed late, not only does it mean your own health will be very badly damaged, but it also means that unknowingly you could be passing it on to other people. And this, we think, is why it goes on being passed on. The number of diagnoses, which last year was 6,095, isn't really going down very much. We're still getting the same number of diagnoses. There's 103,700 people in the UK who are living with it now. And almost a quarter of those, it is thought, may not know.
I did hear about these home testing kits. It's amazing what you can get out of vending machines these days. But how reliable are they?
Well, the best thing to do for anyone who's listening, who thinks they may have been at risk at some time, and let's face it, you do not ask every sexual partner that you have if they're HIV positive. And anyway, they may not know. That's really the whole point. That's how it goes on being passed on. But the best thing to do would be to get in touch with, for example, the Terence Higgins Trust, because they not only will send you a kit and send you the results, but they will support you with information afterwards so that you know what to do, so that you don't feel you're the only one, so that you know that you are going to not exactly live happily ever after, but you're certainly going to live to the same ripe old age as everybody else that you know. So that's what I would recommend.
Now, this morning I'm talking to Joe Josh, who's from Travel Matters in Redhill. But this morning we're not talking about travel. We're talking about World AIDS Day and why this subject is still a taboo. But Joe, I understand that you have helped with Body and Soul. That's a London-based HIV charity. Can you tell us a little bit about that, please?
Well, it's quite unique. It's for families, it's for children, it's for teenagers, it's for their parents. They say anybody living with HIV or affected by HIV. So it could be, for example, the children are going, they don't know their parents are HIV positive, but it gives those parents a chance to be with other people, a chance to get information, and a chance to really relax. They sort of provide a crèche there.
All right.
Children who are HIV positive, and luckily, or well, in fact, due to science, we're not getting so many now, aren't normally told that's what they've got, although they're on medication, until they're over the age of 10, probably 12, because it's a very hard thing to face. So what I do is go and give a quick update on the research that's just has come out, any new guidance or guidelines that have come out. What I have to say to you is how amazing the people there are. Really amazing. I remember the first time I went there, I thought, you're all so happy. You're all so happy and
why
so nice.
Be?
Well, yes, but you go there with a preconception, which is, you know, oh, and it isn't like that at all. Absolutely not.
Oh,
so look
amazing.
It up, bodyandsoul.org.
Fantastic.
They're really good.
So why do we have World AIDS Day and what is hoped to be achieved by it?
I think now there's two things. One is to try to go on removing the negatives, the stigma about it. And I think the other is to get better treatment available worldwide, because there are still many countries where there is no treatment or very poor treatment, particularly Africa, for example.
Yes.
And there is also a campaigning element to get the prices of HIV medication reduced, because the cost to produce it is a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of what it is charged at. And there, the highest charges are actually in the States.
All right.
Despite the fact that the common cost is very low indeed. It can be as little as a 50th of the actual charge made to the health authority. So part of it is campaigning to get a reduction. And there will be lots of reductions because some of the medication is becoming generic. In other words, it's out of patent, which is going to be good news for an awful lot of people.
And I know we've got plenty more that we'd like to talk about, but unfortunately, as usual, time is not on our side. But just one question, I think you've maybe answered it already, but do we still need to educate people about HIV and AIDS? And if yes, why?
Two main reasons. One is you think it's not me, it's other. You know how people talk about the other?
Yes.
Well, it's going to affect someone else. It's not going to affect me. I've always made jokes about being far too blonde and far too old. But one in three people now getting HIV care are over 50. So that's one reason, so that there is an awareness and so that people will get tested, because it doesn't actually show itself, apart from in a few people, as anything other than like a sort of flu-y thing. Mm-hmm. It will be misdiagnosed in early stages. Then people can be relatively healthy for years and years, you know, 5 years, 6 years, longer, and then they'll suddenly become really ill when the virus takes over their immune system. And it's very important to get treatment before that point.
Indeed. Well, Jo, thank you very much for popping into the Susie studio today. And yes, I should be looking up some more information myself on World AIDS Day, because I still don't know much about it. And I think, yes, we do still need to be educated about it, as you say, and also to drop the taboo, because, well, people don't have the same thoughts as with cancer, and it is still an illness.
Yes, and remember, it could be you. You don't know.
Anyway, Jo, lovely as always to see you, and thank you for popping
thank
into
you.
Susie today. And I hope you have a lovely Christmas.
I hope you do too.
That C word. Shh. And hopefully see you in the new year on Susie, back with Paul for some more travel matters.
Okay, thanks.
Jo Josh from Travel Matters, but not talking about travel today. HIV and AIDS, World AIDS Day, of course, being Thursday, the 1st of December. I'm Tess Lucy. This is Susie Radio.